You're listening to the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. If it's post-apocalyptic, we're talking about it.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 69th episode of the Post-Apocalyptic Media Podcast. I am your host, Sean, senior editor here at Post-Apocalyptic Media, and I'm joined once again by Tina. How you doing, Tina?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great as well. This is nice. It's like a nice treat where we get to get together about once a month and you know, where I don't have to talk to myself and, you know, it's nice.
Yeah, I enjoy it too.
So we have a lot of news this time. We have a lot to get through, and some of it is crazy news. Some of it's a little wacky. A lot of it has to do with Walking Dead, since it was the end of this, you know, end of this part of the season, of their final season. So yeah, we have a lot, kind of a lot to talk about. But before we get into that, what have you been up to in the world of post-apocalyptic media?
Oh, not a ton. I've been very busy at work, but I have read a couple books that were like post-apocalyptic themed. Mm-hmm. One was called The Pellucid Witch, which was like a novella that's kind of like a sci-fi fantasy set in a post-apocalyptic world. It's really interesting. I'm going to be posting my review of that on the channel hopefully tomorrow, but we'll see. It might be early next week. Mm-hmm. Then I also read Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir. Oh, okay. I'm not sure. Yeah, he did The Martian, and so this one was a little bit different. It's about these particles that are basically eating up the sun, and so he has to go on a mission to, you know, stop that from happening. It was pretty good. People seemed to love it. I found it okay. There were things about that I was kind of like, eh, it's all right. I don't understand the obsession with it people have, but it was good and entertaining. Like, I did like it, so.
Cool. Yeah, I have that on my list for one day. It's like you said, everybody talks about it, everybody loves it, so it's like, well, I got to check this out. But it's good to know that you have kind of like a, you know, an opposite view of that, or at least an opposing view.
Yeah, it has like an amnesia plot. I'm never super fond of those because it requires quite the suspension of disbelief in how it kind of unravels. It unravels kind of chronologically, and I'm like, memory doesn't really work that way. And then there were some other things about it. There's a character that comes in later that I loved, but I thought that their kind of depiction was a bit weird. But I don't want to talk about it because it'll be a big spoiler. But it was entertaining. I definitely enjoyed. I listened to it on Audible. I enjoyed listening to it. I just and it was easy to follow, even though it has a lot of like science jargon and stuff. But I tend to think critically too when I read. I don't tend to like zone out, so maybe that's it too. Can't help it.
All right. So, as far as me, I don't know. I try to think of, you know, I guess this week has been kind of getting away from, you know, you get kind of tired of post-apocalyptic stuff like all the time, or at least, you know, one thing all the time.
How dare you?
I know. We just lost half our listeners just now. So, you know, I love going to the classics, the like, not really classics, but my wife and I have been finishing Better Call Saul, which is...
We were watching that too. Sorry.
Oh, did you? Such a great, I love that show so much. And it's great. I think that's good to kind of listen to and watch other things, you know, and you kind of get a better, broader perspective of everything. You know, if you sit there and you just read about the end of the world all the time, you're be pretty depressed, right?
Exactly.
So, you know, you read about or you watch stuff about the drug trade and crooked lawyers, and then you're much more optimistic.
It makes the wit in the world much better.
Yes. All right. Well, let's go ahead and get into the news. We have some exciting ones. We have this one. I'm just going to start off with this bang right here. This is no news to a lot of people. And I was actually talking to Derek about this, and he's like, yeah, I already knew about this. So there's UFO reports. There's an actual report that says that there's unaccounted for pregnancies in people who have been abducted by aliens. I take all this with a grain of salt. And I know Derek is like hardcore into alien stuff, but I just thought it was interesting. You know, this is, now, first of all, there are a couple caveats here. First of all, this comes from The Sun, the British tabloid, The Sun. they apparently wrote and obtained this 1,572-page record that has 52 documents describing, you know, everything related to alien encounters. The U.S. government has basically documented every single call in, every single, you know, report where anyone has said that they've been abducted by aliens. Well, I guess a bunch of these had unaccounted for pregnancies after the abduction. I don't know. I mean, I know you're a big fan of like alien romance. So
I was going to say, this reminds me of like books that I have read. Yeah. If I read any romance books at all, yeah, they're always like that.
Yeah.
Because I think they're funny. But that's interesting. Like, do they actually have these women given birth? Are the babies humans? Like,
yeah, that would be the logical next question. You know, it's like, well, great, but there is something that comes after that. So let's. So what happened there? Yeah, I don't know. They don't really talk about that. Of course, there are people who believe that, you know, aliens just look like us, and so you wouldn't be able to tell. But
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're like, our planet has been seeded by aliens that look like us that are like technologically advanced.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that theory. It's fun.
Yeah, me too.
We're just one of many worlds, just little experiments.
Yeah, exactly. That is so great. It makes the most sense, and it's, you know, it fits into so many different, it answers so many questions.
Yeah.
But one thing also that they say in this report is they talk about unidentified aerial phenomena, which is kind of the new way of saying UFO, UAPs. But they also talk about ghosts, yetis, spirits, elves, and other mythical legendary entities. Wow.
I love that yetis are specifically called out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they differentiate ghosts and spirits, but then they have yetis like right in the middle there. Yeah, I love that. I don't know. I don't know what to think
maybe
about this.
Maybe they come out a lot, yetis. Maybe they're seen more often than we expect, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy. Go ahead and check out this article. I think it's a fun little article. But, it, you know, the main part of it, of course, this is the fun part of it. The main part of it, of course, is that there are a lot of people who said that they were abducted by aliens and they have neurological problems and they have, you know, headaches and all these different things that have happened to them after that. Anything from brain damage, nerve damage, heart palpitations, all that kind of stuff. So it's just the fact that they've recorded it. They've recorded every single one of these just to, you know, just to keep a paper trail, just in case something happened, you know, later on. But unexplained pregnancies, that's a big one.
So odd.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into some of the fictional media we have here. Tales of the Walking Dead is the new anthology series based on The Walking Dead. And they started recording the filming for the show. Of course, it has like Terry Crews in it. We talked about this before.
This is the comedy one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excited for this one.
we expressed our love for Terry Crews.
Yes.
but there was actually an injury on set, and they said that, now why this is kind of newsworthy is because something happened to Daryl, you know, Norman Reedus.
Right. Yeah.
Just a couple weeks earlier. And now they have this other accident that happened. They said that here's what Stephanie wrote about it. She said that sources said that she fell off the deck, hit the lower railing, hit the dock, and then fell into the lake. And she wasn't able to swim, so she had to be rescued by the safety crew. So it was a little more serious than I think Norman Reedus's injury, because I think he just hit his head. But I think she's fine. You know, I think everything's fine, but it's just kind of one of those things where, you know, best wishes to her for.
Yeah, that's kind of scary. Hitting your head and falling in the water.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good thing there were people around, definitely.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I hate to say it, but it means that we know that this is being filmed. You know, that the progression is being made on the show. Is that distasteful? I don't know if that's using an injury to.
Any way you can get the news, you know.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, of course, since she's okay, I think it's fine. All right, next little bit of news. We have another Walking Dead spinoff. This is actually a spinoff of Fear the Walking Dead, which is already a spinoff, and it's called Dead in the Water. Now, it just premiered on Sunday, and it's on AMC Plus, only on AMC Plus. It's not even on regular AMC. And it's supposed to kind of tell the story of the submarine. It's like a submarine-based. In the last season of Fear the Walking Dead, now I haven't seen it, but this is from what I've heard, that they had a crew, and this is supposed to follow that crew.
Huh.
Have you seen it at all?
I've seen, I think, the first three seasons of it. I basically just watch whatever I can get on the things I subscribe to. And so I think that's what was on either Netflix or Prime when I watched it. There's probably more on there now, but I have to go back and keep finishing it. I did enjoy it, though.
Yeah, I haven't caught up. I watched a couple of the first season. They're in the middle of season 7 right now.
Oh, my God. I can never keep up.
I know. And that's another thing is I feel like I don't want to watch Dead in the Water because I haven't caught up with Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like, you know, I want to watch this, but I feel like, you know, first I have to watch the other one. And
I'm just curious as how the submarine is being like refueled all the time.
Yeah.
I'm always concerned about these things. Like in Snowpiercer, I'm like, how are they maintaining the tracks? I'm like, how are they refueling the submarine? I don't know why these things bother me.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's, yeah, it makes sense. And I don't know, I'm not sure exactly, you know, if it's a nuclear sub or how it's...
Oh, right, yeah.
How it works. But just the fact that it's, you know, it's kind of a unique situation.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a unique apocalyptic... Although there
reminds
was,
me of that Fallout
quest
in like Fallout 4, where you find the ghoul in the submarine.
Yeah.
I liked that one. He's all alone. He's been alone for like 200 years. Poor guy.
Yeah. I remember when I was younger, I grew up in Chicago, and we had the Museum of Science and Industry had a submarine. And I remember when I was a kid, we would go on that submarine. You get to explore and everything. And every time I think of this show or anything to do with it, I think I like have visual flashbacks of that exact submarine, you know, like the interior of it. And I'm thinking like, that's what I'm picturing.
That's a wonderful museum. I've been there actually.
Oh, have
and,
you? Yeah.
Yeah. I went there a couple years ago, maybe like 6 years ago. And they had a mine shaft as well that you could go in. And
yeah.
I loved that. I kept asking all these really weird questions to the guy on the tour. And he's like, I'm like 17. I don't know any of these questions. I was like, my friends were like, please stop.
You're like, what kind of coal is
I like really weird questions that I literally don't need to know, but I was just like really into this mine tour, like really bad.
Yeah, I love that place. All right, well, so speaking of that, we can just go right into the Fear of the Walking Dead information, which is the fact that it's coming on April 17th, which is next Sunday. That's the continuation of Fear the Walking Dead's second part of season 7. They love doing this for some reason. They're doing it with Walking Dead also. And I guess it's so they can have, like, you know, get people really hyped up and have multiple finales and all that kind of stuff. It works. I think it works pretty well. But now here's the thing that I wanted to really point out about Fear the Walking Dead. It's coming out on the 17th on AMC. But it's also coming out on AMC Plus. Usually they do a week early for the new episode. Well, they're not doing that on this one. But what they are doing instead is they're giving you two episodes. So they're giving you the first episode at the same time everyone else gets it. But you're also getting episode two, or the, you know, the next episode a week early. So you're getting two at once. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So like if there's a cliffhanger on episode one, the people that pay more for it get... they get to know what happens really quickly, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. And AMC Plus isn't that, I think it's like $5 a month or something like that.
US. Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, and we have it because of this, and also, there was The Stand, I think was on there. So
a couple
shows we watched. So Stephanie put in this article about the exact schedule. So episodes 9 and 10 of season 7 are coming out the 17th, and then it goes all the way until the finale for AMC Plus the week early will be on May 29th. For regular AMC, it'll be on June 5th. So, and I think they're supposed to do three parts of that, just like they're doing with Walking Dead.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. It's so much to keep track of. It's like, where am I?
You need like a calendar just to like for all your shows.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, luckily we have that.
That's true.
On the front page of the website. Yeah. So you don't even have to keep track of it. We'll do it for you.
Oh, yeah.
When we remember. All right. This next little bit of news here. The game Wasteland, which is one of my all-time favorite games of all time, So Brian Fargo is the guy who made it. You know, he's the guy who did Interplay back in the 80s. And he tweeted that a TV show almost happened. So he not only did he say, hey, a TV show almost happened, but he said, here's the script for the pilot.
Cool.
They got so far. Yeah. So they got so far as to write this script and let it out and say, what do you guys think? You know, this almost happened. And it's cool. It's kind of, have you ever played any of the Wasteland games?
No, I should. I know I should. I just, I'll make it a goal.
Yeah, they're similar to Fallout because they're, you know, the spiritual beginnings of right. Fallout, I guess you could say. But the original Wasteland came out in 87, 88, and I was 12, so it was such a great time. You know,
I would have been 3, yeah, so yes. That's probably why I haven't played them.
Probably why. But it was, you know, as a 12-year-old, it's kind of whatever comes out when you're 12 is like the best thing ever. Okay. And so I really enjoyed the game. It was one of the things that started me on post-apocalyptic gaming and all this stuff. And, of course, in, what was it, 2014, I think, they came out with Wasteland 2 finally, all that time later. Then they had Wasteland 3 a couple years later. So it's, you know, it's a franchise. It's a thing. And it's successful, you know. Now, it's not as successful as Fallout, which is going to have its own TV show as well.
Yay.
Very soon. And so I don't, you know, I definitely wouldn't be as popular, I think, as Fallout. But I think it's interesting to know that they almost did it. And what's cool, though, about this whole story is that people in the comments on Reddit were saying, hey, let's get this going on YouTube. You know, there's not a lot of overhead on a YouTube show. So let's go ahead. Let's do this. And so other people are commenting and they're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's, you know, I'm a producer. Let's do this. Or I'm a guy who makes, you know, graphic design. I can make the graphic. You know, so people are like getting together to do this. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I hope it happens.
If I were to play one of the games, which one should I play?
Well, it depends on what you like.
I need a map. I can't do Fallout 1 because I get so lost.
Oh, yeah. Well, 2 and 3 are very, very similar. There's not really a lot, but they're both the kind of overhead three-quarter view, you know, you get from like D&D games and stuff. 1 is very, I mean, it's so old and it's so like hardcore that I don't know if you'd enjoy it.
You know. I get lost.
I mean, it does have a map, but it's
yeah. If it doesn't like have little like indicators of where I'm supposed to walk, I'm just like, I don't know what to do. I get lost in the buildings and fall it all the time because the map doesn't work. And I'm like, I have to tell my husband, I'm like, can you help me get out of this building? He's like, literally turn right twice and you'll get out. I'm like, okay. I'm like that in real life too.
I think if you tried either 1, 2 or 3, it'd be interesting. 3 is cool. You know, it's a little more polished. So, but yeah, they're pretty good games. Okay, this next little bit of news, this one's all you. This is an article you wrote about sci-fi's The Ark. Now, I love this title. It says, there's no room for Gen X and boomers in sci-fi's The Ark. So, you want to...
Yeah, I'll explain that.
Yeah.
So, basically, The Ark, as you explained, I think back in January, is a space opera coming out. We don't know when. It's set during a recolonization period in humanity. I think it's supposed to be 100 years in the future. And so all these spacecrafts called arcs are set off to like colonize different planets. And then the first one, Arc 1, runs into a problem. There's something wrong with it, I guess. The leadership isn't working, stuff like that. So we don't really know. I think that's like all we know about it. But the cast list was recently announced. And so I was kind of looking through being like, oh, what have these people been in before? Was there anyone, you know, anyone of note? And pretty much everyone is kind of a newcomer. And all of them, because of their ages, you know, that I saw on IMDb, are 35 and under. So I was wondering, I was like, I wonder what this means for, like, the plot. Yeah. I'm assuming it's more like they don't want to send older people to, like, a new planet because they can't make more people because they're too old. But I wonder also if it could be something to do with, like, maybe all the old people die in the first episode. Or, I was kind of joking, maybe, you know, there's a big war about old versus new and the new generation left.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I doubt it's that, but I just thought it'd be kind of funny. And so I was just kind of making a joke about Gen X and boomers.
So is this... I'm kind of glancing through this, is it going to be like a generational ship where this could be the second generation? Or
I don't And I don't know. I'm assuming because it's called Arc 1, it's like the first one. But maybe it is. Like, yeah, because they don't explain whether they're in like, frozen during this or in some kind of a sustained sleep or whether it is a generation ship and maybe, yeah, maybe they are the newest. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm curious. Like, colony ships are such a... such a common trope in space opera. I'm really interested to see how this one kind of takes it on in a new direction because there are so many about this concept, but because it's a great concept.
Yeah. I always love this. It's funny. I, you know, when I was younger, again, 12, that's when everything was happening. So I was about 11, 12 and I used to think up, book ideas. I have these notebooks just sitting in a box that where I would start writing like the first three chapters of all these. Yeah. And so I always thought I came up with this idea. I'm putting in quotes. It was like my idea about this ship that goes out and they have a, you know, second and third generation on the ship. And I'm like, yes, that's a great idea. I invented this. And then it turns out it's like one of the biggest tropes in sci-fi.
Yeah, like, there's so many. Even like Alien Covenant, the one from that one's Lost in Space is pretty much about that.
Yeah.
Pandorum, Firefly was kind of like that. Certain aspects of it, right?
I guess so. Yeah.
And there's like tons of books.
Yeah.
But it's fun because the thing is, like, you can read them and they're all different. They all have different kind of spins on it, so it's kind of fun to.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is it's like there's no new idea. It's just how you present an idea, you know.
Same with post-apocalyptic stuff.
The world only ends in that, you know, but how
just
does it
how
end?
And when and why
and who, and who's involved who? So I think that's I'm excited to see it. I always like, and you know, I gotta say though, it's called The Ark and it's like that's another thing where it's like, come on, like, can you name it something else besides The Ark?
It's such a, it's such an obvious name.
Yeah.
I'm like, is there going to be religious overtones? Like, who knows? Like, arcs, but maybe not. Who knows?
It's like when they name shows The Colony. You're like, okay, well, we know what this is about. It's a 200th show called The Colony.
I know.
But, all right. So, let's see. The next little bit of news. This is about The Walking Dead again. I'm back to The Walking Dead.
Oh, my God.
I know. We haven't talked about that. So... So right now, we just finished up the second part of season 11, which is the final season of Walking Dead. Just last week, we finished it up. And so people are saying, well, when's it going to come back? There's supposed to be a part 3. There's supposed to be 8 more episodes. You know, when's it going to happen? They haven't announced anything, but Stephanie wrote an article that I really liked because she kind of speculates and she does some math, which is... You know, that's over my head.
Wow.
I know. and so she kind of figured out what they're announcing as could be the final episode. And then she goes back and counts back 8 weeks. So she's figuring, you know, if November 6th is the final episode, then it would start on September 18th.
Hmm.
With AMC being a week earlier, I guess that'd be the 11th. And then... But if it ends on the 27th, then she figures out that it would start on October 9th. So she does a few calculations here, which I think is, you know, I would have never thought to do that. I think it's funny.
No, I'd just be like, hmm.
I was just like, well, it's going to come out in the fall. That's it.
Yeah. You know?
And I think a lot of people were also speculating that it might go into 2023.
Hmm.
But they don't normally do that. I think Stephanie is especially going by the, you know, other seasons and how they've done this when they split up, because I think they did that with season 10, or I know they did, but I think they did it with 9 too, but so they've just split it up like that. And this is kind of, you know, I mean, there are researchers that figure out when's the best time to release, you know,
Halloween season. Makes sense to do in the fall.
People are not outside as much or whatever, you know, they're inside, they want to watch this stuff. So it makes sense, especially to get it done before like the holiday season in December.
Yeah, because everyone wants to watch their Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yes.
Not that's... me. I can't stand Even regular Christmas movies. My husband's like, let's watch this. I'm like, can we just watch like The Shining? That has snow in it. It's Christmas.
Anything with snow on it, in it. Yeah.
That's... Yeah.
All right. So The Walking Dead... should be coming back in September, October, probably mid-September to the beginning of October, somewhere around there. And then, so she goes on in this and talks about the, all the different spinoffs. Of course, we've talked about Dead in the Water. We've talked about Tales of the Walking Dead. We've talked about Fear the Walking Dead. But there's also Isle of the Dead, which is the one with Maggie
and
Negan.
Oh, yeah, the controversial one.
Yeah, and what's crazy about that is people were joking about it. They're like, oh, are they going to be together? But now, yeah, but now she's like being super friendly with him. In the last episode, spoiler alert, if no one's seen it.
Oh.
But she's not, I mean, not like super friendly, like grabbing his arm or anything like that. But just, you know, she forgives him and she says, well, I don't know. But anyway, did I just ruin it for you?
Yeah, you can ruin it for me.
Sorry.
No, it's fine.
They did point out, I think it was actually Jeffrey Dean Morgan, the guy who plays Negan, pointed out that the producers, when they released this Isle of the Dead spinoff idea or, you know, announcement, that it spoiled it for a lot of people because they're like, oh, well, I guess Negan lives. I guess Maggie lives, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, well, now we know that. And now we know that they're going to be together and like fighting zombies together. So what happened there, you know? So I think it's kind of a strategic move to get us to watch the rest of the season. To try to figure out how in the world,
because I am very, very curious about this. And like how aren't they the ones that played Batman's parents in like Batman Begins?
yeah, they are.
The whole thing is a Batman origin story.
Isle of the Dead
is just gonna be Bat. It's gonna become Gotham, and then there's Batman.
Yes, I think I saw a theory about that. It was like,
really? Oh,
yeah, it was like a meme. I think it just showed them.
Oh, okay.
And it said, and I don't think it went that deep into it, but it was just a meme, and it said like, oh, Maggie and Negan are Batman's parents. Spinoff, you know. But
so funny.
Yeah, that's it'll be interesting to see how they can get to that point up to Isle of the Dead. I don't know. But that one will only be 6 episodes.
Oh.
So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Yeah, so they have, I think that's all of them. There's also the Daryl and Carol spinoff.
So many.
Which sounds funny. I think when I first heard about it, I was like, the Daryl and Carol comedy hour, you know, because they talked about a comedy. That's not going to be the comedy, though. Please don't let that be the comedy.
They're both just like, they're like, just a stoic, both of them.
Yeah.
So it would be a very odd comedy.
I don't even understand, like, they're both the same personality, you know, very similar personality.
Yeah.
So is the whole show just going to be them staring?
Moping about around?
Yeah, moping.
Not talking.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know. And I just wonder, I wonder if this is it too. You know, like, are these all the spinoffs? Like, are we done with this now?
How many can they make?
Yeah.
I mean, it is Hollywood. They'll just drag everything in the ground, you know, as hard as they can.
Yeah. Oh, and then we have the Rick Grimes movies.
Oh, right.
Which I feel like those might be a little too late. I think, I don't know. I mean, a lot of people are pining for him to come back. You know, especially if you go on Twitter, there's a lot of like Twitter accounts called like Rick Grimes come back to Walking Dead, and just, you know, the entire premise of it's like a whole community that revolves around getting Rick Grimes to come back.
That's dedication.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, they're supposed to make 3 movies out of that. And man, by the time they make 3 movies, that'll be 10 years from now, you know, when they're done with them. And it's like,
He's going to be like 60.
Yeah.
Are they going to be like movies in the theater movies or just like Netflix movies?
I don't know. I don't think they've really announced too much about it. We do know that it's supposed to tell the story of where he went after.
Right.
I mean, he didn't die. I don't think that's a spoiler. Somebody who just saw season 1 is like, what?
Yeah, they're like, I thought he was dead.
Yeah. But, yeah, he got carried away on a helicopter. And I think that's, what, season, I don't even remember, 9, 8, somewhere around
there? Yeah, because I think I watched up to season, did I see that part? I don't know. I can't remember what you've told me or what I've read or what I've seen. I'm useless.
That's like when I used to do the Walking Dead spoiler shows on YouTube. I'd record it. And then poor Val, she edited them. And she'd be like, oh, okay. I know everything that's going to happen. It was basically just a spoiler show for Val.
Oh.
All right. Well, let's see. Next little bit of news here is about Fallout, the tabletop role-playing game. This, have you played this at all?
No, but I want to buy all the little figurines.
Yes, yes. That's what I feel like, because the rule book and everything is free. You can download all the PDFs for free on this publisher's website. And I think it came out in 2019. So you get all this stuff, and that's how they like hook you in. You know, you're like, oh, this looks like fun. Now I need to buy these $50 sets of miniatures. And so I've never gotten into it, I guess, for that reason. You know, even when I play D&D, we buy like off-brand miniatures, and you know, we don't buy the expensive one. But the news here is that there's an expansion. They've made an expansion for this tabletop role-playing game, this Fallout one, and the game is called Fallout Wasteland Warfare. And this new expansion is supposed to have a 65-page booklet with expanded rules that includes some new factions like Children of the Atom, the Gunners, and the Railroad. New creatures, Super Mutant's terrifying behemoth, Swan, from Fallout 4.
Oh, Swan.
Yeah. New cards, all kinds of stuff. There's equipment cards. Of course, more miniatures. They have new sets of miniatures. And they have one miniature that I thought was really cool. They have Grognak the Barbarian.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I guess you can play as him. That's kind of cool.
Do they have a Hancock miniature?
I think they did in the original. I'm pretty sure.
I have to buy that. I want it for my desk.
He's your favorite?
He's my boyfriend.
That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. My husband gets mad when I say that. He's like, what does that say about me? I'm like, nothing. You're not like, undead.
I wish you were undead. That's all.
Good thing he doesn't listen to this podcast.
All right. So that is actually, it hasn't come out yet. It'll come out in June of this year, so a couple months. And yeah, tons of new stuff. All that Railroad stuff. They have like all the, you know, if you played Fallout 4, they have a whole storyline with the Railroad, and they have all that.
Is it like all the characters, like what's her name, Desdemona?
Yeah, they're supposed to have her in there. They have an I don't know, they have an animal decor print at home pack. So I looked at it, and it's like there's like a gorilla chair, and there's it's like animal, I don't know, it's like animal decor. Like,
it's like when you were in Fallout 3 where you could like buy those like kits to decorate your like apartment building in Tenpenny Tower.
Yeah, it's pretty much like that. So, and I'm sure that's when awesome. They made 3 and 4 and they made this whole, they're, you know, they're like, we need to just capitalize on this as much as we can. Make miniatures.
Then I'm just like, I'll buy any of the miniatures. I won't even play the game. I'll just buy the miniatures. Yeah.
They look really cool too. Now this expansion is supposed to be $45, which isn't bad when you consider. I mean, it doesn't include the miniatures, but I think it includes everything else.
Right. So
that's cool. And then the miniatures, it depends on how, you know, what you get, but I was looking at them and they're, I mean, seriously, like $40 for like a set of 10 or something. They're pretty expensive.
That's pretty crazy. Do you have to pick the 10 though?
Oh, that would be nice.
That'd be cool. I guess not. There's just like a set, right?
Yeah, they have different sets. And then they sell like dice. They sell like Fallout dice and all that stuff. It's pretty awesome. Cool. I don't know. I get into that stuff. I love like dice. You know, they have special glow-in-the-dark dice and like swirly dice and all that stuff. My wife gets into that too.
That's so fun.
Yeah. Okay. And the next, well, this is the last bit of news for the show, and this is a favorite of mine. So there's stuff out there called AI art, and this is essentially, it's like I put in the article, it's magic. It's just magic. It's AI that have learned. They have like this neural capacity to learn and create art based on other images. So they'll take, so if you, and what's really cool about it is you can put in a text prompt. This is fairly new. The ability to make art from AI is actually old. It's, you know, a couple decades old. Mm-hmm. But the ability to do a search and use text, that's the new thing. And Google actually made that. So we have apps. There's one called Starry AI and there's another one called Mambo, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are, or Wombo, that's what it is.
Wombo, sorry, yeah. I was like, Wombo's, yeah, wait a minute.
Wombo is the maker. They make a bunch of different apps, but Dream is the name of the thing. So it's called Dream by Wombo. Both of these I played with quite a bit. I played with a lot of these for this article, but those are my two favorites. And I go kind of down the line. I explain why each one's my favorite. One is super quick, but it doesn't have high res. And the other one takes about 15 minutes, but then it has, you know, really high res photos or pictures. So I put in, of course, I mean, you can imagine what word I put in there. I put apocalyptic, you know, and I wanted to see what it would come up with. And it came up with some crazy stuff. I put it all in this article. And then I put in like dystopia, and I put in like wasteland, and, you know, all the keywords. And it really came up with some crazy stuff. And from what I understand, the way they make it is the AI just searches everything that has that keyword in it, and it kind of puts it together, not just randomly, but it puts it together in like a kind of a coherent way, which is scary.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think about this? You think this is?
I think they're really cool. I remember the dream one was popular. What was it, in the around Christmas time? I think a lot of authors, like I follow a lot of authors on Twitter, and they were all kind of like posting using this program to kind of do mood boards or like examples of like their work. So they'd be like, I read a book about dragons, and then they'd include like the aesthetics from that to kind of create an idea of what their book is about. I thought that was really neat. It's like an easy way to kind of show people the tone, I guess, or like a concept without having to like make them read a paragraph, I guess. I don't know. I think it's really neat. It's kind of scary, though, as you said, about the AI being able to do that.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, what's cool too is we talked about this before, but it's, at least with Starry AI, they give you the commercial rights to these, to this art. I mean, they say, here, you can do whatever you want with it. They literally say you could put it on an album cover or whatever. And I think that's a big draw for a lot of people. You know, you want to make something that's, it's, I don't know what that genre would be called. It's not quite abstract, and it's not quite, you know, contemporary. It's like kind of thrown in the middle there, but it comes up with some crazy stuff. I actually joined their Discord for both of these, and people share the work that they've done, and there's some crazy stuff. And of course, you can have a starter image, you know. So like, if you have a picture of like your favorite cat, and you want to see what it'll do with it, you can. I mean, you know, it's crazy. So be ready for that. So you can put it in there, and it'll build upon that, which is cool.
Or, and you said that so you can use it commercially without...
Yeah.
Like, do you own the rights to the picture if you've created it?
Yeah, and that's what's crazy. That's at least with Starry AI. They say that you have commercial rights, you own all the rights to it because it's your creation. And it's not really your creation, like I didn't make it, but it's unique. It's like 100% unique to you. They say that there will never... Like, other people could put in the word apocalyptic and it'll come up with something completely different. So... And even if you do, I've done it. I tried it out, and I did it a couple times, and it was different stuff every time. So
that's
pretty.
That's really cool for book covers and stuff, because I know like getting a book cover made is really expensive, like if you want a good quality one. So this would be a way people could, like, you know, independent authors could produce stuff, and small artists as well, like music artists, like you said, like album covers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really neat, actually.
I feel like we're kind of on the cusp of something here. Like, this is a beginning of something bigger. You know, maybe it'll become a whole movement and whole AI.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know what they would even call it.
I've seen some of those funny kind of like, I made a bot watch like 500 hours of whatever and then made them write their own story.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like so funny.
Oh, man, I forgot. Yeah, those are incredible.
Yeah.
And scary.
I can't remember any of them, but I remember, like some of them you're just like, oh my God, you couldn't try to be this funny.
Yeah. After we record here, I'm going to have to go look that up again.
I'm going to go on YouTube or whatever and be like, where are some of these fake bot stories? Because they're just so funny.
Yeah, that's funny. And it's scary. That's another example of how it's learning from itself and kind of learning, you know, I mean, you can change things here and there. You can tweak it. But yeah, that's, wow.
what's it learning though?
Yeah,
like what
exactly.
if you made it watch like only like 1960s movies, like all the like problematic stuff, it would think that yeah. that's like real.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Wow. Okay. So I think that's I think that'll pretty much do it for this show. Now upcoming stuff we have, of course, we talked about Fear the Walking Dead, which will be Sunday, and then it'll be on AMC and AMC Plus. Pacific Rim is coming on the 19th, season 2 on Netflix.
I didn't know that. I should have known that. But okay. Yay.
Yeah, that'll be coming April 19th. And then the 20th, we have a Yakima's S245 premieres on Netflix. I don't know what that is, but it's on our calendar. So
okay.
I'm sure Stephanie wrote it. She's the anime fan
right, yeah.
on our site. So yeah, that's it for April, and then we get into May when there's a whole bunch of other stuff for that. But yeah, awesome. Thanks everyone for listening. This was fun, and I'm always happy to have you on, Tina. So
yep, just me with my weird time. Facts about my ghoul boyfriends and random stuff no one needs to know about, but that's fine. I don't care.
I need to get Val to like add that as the cover art or something.
I overshare too much.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And as always, stay alive out there and always be ready for the big one. Bye-bye.